all your mind and all your soul. That is the greatest commandment. Jesus said was to love the Lord our God. I'm glad that we can love Him. Say, why do you love Him? Because John said He first loved us. Amen. And God is love. And so when the God who is love saves you and makes His abode in your heart, amen, you'll start loving the Lord. And not just loving the Lord, but you'll start loving His Word. You'll start loving His people. And you'll start loving right. Amen. Amen. Boy, I can tell y'all going to be a hard crowd to preach to this morning. Amen. Buckle your seatbelt. Listen to what we have to say today. I think it's very important. Stand with me out of reverence for reading of the Word of God, verse number 31. Mark 3, verse number 31. The Bible said, there came then His brethren and His mother, and standing without, sent unto Him, calling Him. The multitude sat about Him, and they said unto Him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And He answered them, saying, who is my mother or my brethren? Somebody said, well, the Lord is confused. The Lord is, as they said in verse 21, He has gone beside Himself. And the Lord is very clear. The Lord is clear-eyed, clear-headed, clear-hearted. This is not a question that He is asking of confusion. It is a question that He is going to use to make a very, very spiritual and very needful point. Who is my mother or my brethren? And He looked round about on them which sat about Him and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. Listen to verse 35. For whosoever shall do the will of God. For whosoever shall do the will of God. The same is my brother and my sister and mother. And I know that these verses, boy, you read that, just those verses isolated, you think, what in the world? I'm gonna give you what in the world today and let you know what Jesus is teaching and declaring. And again, a very needful message in this hour and this day. You can be seated. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we come before You this morning thankful for the privilege to have entered in. We're thankful, Lord, the doors of the house of God, Lord, have been opened unto us. The lights are still burning. There's still a crowd that is here. There's still a place we can come, Lord, to hear the old, old story of the Lord Jesus and His doctrine and His message. And, Lord, to receive the spiritual food and nourishment that is so needed in our soul in this moment of time. Lord, we come today, many of us saved and of the family of God. Some, Lord, have come in among us and we're glad they're here. But, Lord, they've yet to be saved. They've yet to be born again. They've yet, Lord, to make things right with God in their heart. Lord, there's something missing. And, Lord, they know that there's something missing. And Lord, I pray today through the Word of God by the Holy Ghost that, Lord, that would be revealed. And that now would be the accepted time in their mind and in their heart. And Lord, that today would be the day of salvation. Lord, for them, that they would be drawn and Lord, convicted and compelled, Lord, not just by the voice of a man, but by the voice of God, seeking, Lord, for them to be saved. Lord, I pray this morning, those of us that are already saved, may we receive that we need this morning, that reminder that, Lord, we've been saved and been made a part of the family of God and that we owe it all to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. Lord, help us now. Help us. And Lord, arrange the atmosphere in this place to be what You need it to be to accomplish Your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We've spent some time now in chapter 3, the book of Mark. And in fact, this is our 20th message through the first three chapters. And we understand in having dealt with all of that and reading that and preached from all of this, that especially in Mark chapter number 3, in the recent verses we've covered to our text, that Christ has had encounters with friends and with foes. His friends came to him when he's in the midst of a crowd. In verse number 21, they had heard of all that was going on. They went out to lay hold on him, that is Jesus, for they said, he is beside himself. And with friends like that, who needs enemies? If you got friends that think you've lost your mind, amen, and are actively working against you, fulfilling the will of God for your life, amen. I mean, they're really doing the devil's work and the enemy's work for, amen, the ultimate adversary of Christ. And yet they were people, the Word of God says, were his friends. In verse 22, the scribes and we believe the Pharisees and the religious crowd that had made themselves over and over through all three of the opening chapters of Mark, they eventually will be that adversary that will have Christ condemned to die, crucified to an old rugged cross, and they'll be responsible for that. This religious crowd had despised the Lord and all that he was teaching and all of his commandments and all of his message, had upset their religion, their form of serving God that they had dreamed up in their own mind. And Christ had an encounter not only with friends and with foes, but in this chapter we now come to these text verses and we find that if his friends turning on him is not enough and his foes constantly coming against him, there's now going to be a dealing that he has with his own earthly family. There came, verse 31, there came then his brethren and his mother. Now, how many of y'all believe the devil is at work behind the scenes in this text? Amen. And if he can't successfully use your friends, amen, to discourage you and cause you to walk out of the will of God, he'll raise up some foes to try to discourage you and get you out of the will of God. And if the foes don't work, how many of y'all understand the devil will use your very family against you? I do not believe the earthly family of Christ is one whit in the will of God in this text. And they are coming and they are being used as agents of the devil to try to discourage the ministry and the life of the Lord Jesus from fulfilling the will of God. Now, I want to say this morning that when it pertains to Christ's earthly family, and Christ had an earthly family that I believe he was endeared unto. He spent time with them. He was not ashamed of them. And you'll see throughout the message this morning, they didn't always embrace everything that he preached. They didn't always live up to everything that he declared to everybody else that they were to live up to. But the Lord loved his earthly family. Do you remember the miracle that took place? In fact, the first of Christ's earthly miracles there when he turned the water into wine, the marriage of Cana. We understand that according to John 2, in the whole setting of that, it was Mary, the mother of Jesus, really led the charge and asked Christ to perform that miracle. And after that miracle, the Bible said in John 2, verse number 12, after this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And so it would appear from that verse, that being the opening miracle of the Lord's earthly ministry. And at that point in time, the Lord had even his earthly family. Amen. He was spending time with them. I'm not sure all the circumstances and how that went. It appears that they all met at a friend's house in Cana and was participants in that wedding ceremony. And when it was done, they kind of seemed to have gone on maybe a vacation, maybe they had a time of relaxation, just Christ and his mother and his brethren and his disciples. And for a few days, they spent some time together. But as we read in Mark chapter number 3, they're no longer on a vacation together. They're not sitting around a table fellowshipping and speaking about the good old days and their upbringing and their childhood stories. We find here in Mark chapter number 3, verses 31 through 35, some things that are shown and revealed to us about Christ and His relationship to His brethren as His life went on in the will of God. This has been said before. This is not an original thought, but it is a scriptural thought. And Christ, from the beginning of His public ministry to the cross at Calvary, there are big crowds that follow Him early on. And the closer He gets to Calvary, the smaller the crowds get. And it wasn't just acquaintances and people that had had miracles bestowed upon them that began to have contention in their heart between them and Christ, that even His own family, the closer Christ gets to fulfilling the ultimate will of God for His life, His family stands, we'll see in a moment, amen, with some not so good outlooks on His life that He's living. And so consider three things that will get me to my thought this morning quickly. Amen. I see in verse number 31, when we consider Christ in relationship to His earthly family, there is the conference that was sought. The Lord now is engaged in full swing ministry. And He's busy. He hasn't been back to Nazareth very many times yet. Amen. He's busy doing the will of God. He's busy with multitudes and crowds. He's busy preaching. He's busy doing miracles. And He's got these awesome crowds that are thronging Him that seem to be taking away from His time with His earthly family. And so they come, the Bible said, standing without, sent unto Him, calling Him. And Matthew 12 and verse 46, the parallel verse to this in our text this morning, said that they were desiring to speak with Him. In other words, they wanted to have a family conference. Amen. They've got some issues on their heart they need to discuss with Him. Amen. How many of y'all know what it means to have family conference? Amen. How many of y'all know what it is when something ain't right in the family and you got to sit out? Amen. And you got to discuss some things that are on your heart. Amen. That seems to be the mindset of Mary and of the brothers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We need to talk about some things. We need to get some things straightened out. Amen. I'll be the first to go on record. I don't like family conference. Amen. They are needful sometimes. And they have to be, but I hate every second of it. Amen. And yet there's sometimes that must be sought out. Notice with me this matter, the conference that was sought. But in verse 31 and 32, I want you to draw your attention to the contention that was shown. You see, really, really, amen, though they are seeking a conference, they really have no other desire than to have things their way. And you see that because the Bible said, notice the word, amen, there came then His brethren and His mother and brethren. And the Bible said, amen, standing without, sent unto Him, calling Him. The multitude sat about Him, and they said unto Him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And so we find here that they are standing without. That is, they were standing at a distance. They were standing at a division. Amen. They're no longer close. There's no longer, amen, a spending of days together. Now, there's arisen this resentment, this bitterness. There's arisen something in their heart, amen, whereby they are without from where Christ is. Amen. May I say to you this morning that really I believe this is a reflection of their opposition to Christ and His message. In fact, if you'll begin to read after other men and greater minds than I, amen, that have studied this and studied the life of Christ, it was Matthew Henry that said when they came to Christ, They were not showing him a lick of respect. In fact, Matthew Henry indicted them with being so disrespectful as to the calling of God upon his life. And they were trying to intervene in that. They were trying to interrupt that. Amen. Because they had some kind of issue in their heart with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so you'll find that. Amen. You'll find that this statement, them being without. And I understand what Matthew and Luke said. There's a great crowd that is around it. In fact, in our text, the Bible said there's a multitude about him. Amen. But don't you think if they wanted to be close to the Lord, amen, they could have been as close to the Lord as they wanted to be. Amen, you not think he'd have made room for them to be near and to be dear and to be close rather than being without. And yet there is this contention that is being shown. Amen, let me show you something. Look with me in John chapter number 7. In John chapter number 7, this would be after... This would be after Mark chapter number 3, which is after John chapter number 2, where we see them all seemingly getting along, enjoying a wedding, and spending time and days together. In John chapter number 7, in verse number 1, the Bible said, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. And notice what they say now, if thou do these things, show thyself to the world. And then verse number 5 is John the Beloved's commentary about where the brothers of Christ are in this point of his earthly life and ministry. For neither did his brethren believe in him. In other words, what they are saying, if you are who you say you are, if you really are going to change the world, if you really are going to save the world and go out and do it now, don't hold it in secret. And what they're doing, they're not promoting Christ. They are scorning their own brother. They're saying, we've heard what you've preached, and we've heard what you have to say, and we've heard your doctrine, and we don't agree with it, and we don't understand it, and if it is what it really is, if thou doest these things, does that not sound mighty similar, amen, to what the devil said in the wilderness? If thou be the Son of God, do this and do that. Amen. Challenging the reality and the saving power and the deity and the person of who Christ is. John the Beloved said all of this contention between the earthly brothers of Christ and his half-brothers, that it was the result that they had not yet believed in him. Can I say in Christian homes, amen, and really in any home, let's just be honest about it today, amen, that there are times in our families that there are contentions and there are issues that arise, and we have to deal with those things. And let me just remind all of us today, amen, if you got any contention, if you've had any family problems, amen, just understand today, amen, you're not alone. Everybody has family trouble. Everybody has family problems. And a lot of that has to do because we're all so hard-headed, amen, and want things our own way and want to see things the way we want to see it. And that's just part of life and part of family. Amen, there ain't nothing fun about it. There ain't nothing enjoyable about it. Amen, there ain't no drama like family drama, and I can't stand any drama. Amen. And family drama can be the worst and the most headache. Amen. Is that that you'll ever face in your life? Amen. But may I say the contention that is here, amen, it goes beyond just the mundane and the casual and the earthly realm. This is spiritual contention that is in a home. I'm preaching to those that, and they're all of us here today, I think, would, amen, say, by and large, we want to have a Christian family, and we want to know what it is to really serve God. I love what Brother Tim said this morning. Amen, it is our desire as daddies, same Christian daddies, that our children would get saved and not just be saved, but would serve God, that we could have a unity with our children in the things of God. Amen. How many times, Brother Jack, are there contentions spiritually in our family similar to what Christ is dealing with here? Amen. Because somebody's on a different page spiritually. Amen. And maybe you got a father or mother, or maybe it's the children that want to be spiritual and the parents, say, are lagging behind, or maybe don't even know the Lord. And how that creates a contention and a distance and a division that breaks our heart. Here's what Christ said. I've quoted it in recent weeks, and we need to understand this. Because Christianity and religion in 2022, amen, they think that we're all supposed to just be a bunch of, amen, folk who get along and don't rock the boat and make waves. Amen. But Jesus said, if you're going to be a Christian and you're going to be a disciple, here's what He said. He said, you need to understand that I have come, and what I've come to bring is not peace. I've come to bring a sword. I've come, and what I am preaching, Christ said, I am well aware. How was He well aware? He was experiencing it firsthand in His own family. And the gospel message and living a Christian life and living by the Bible, Jesus said, what I am offering to you as My disciples, it is going to divide fathers from their sons and mothers from their daughters, and even siblings are going to be divided. Why? Because when you're saved, you cannot compromise even for your earthly family. Amen. Boy, ain't we having a time. This is an unusual atmosphere. Hang with me. The contention that was shown. They weren't interested in what Christ was promoting. They weren't interested in the message that He preached. In fact, in this text, they would rather be the instrument of Satan to silence the voice and the message that Christ was preaching in the moment. They're not only unwilling to hear it themselves, they are willing to engage Him in such a way that the multitude that is gathered and is looking and is searching and is infatuated and desperately needs what He is preaching, His own family is trying to silence His voice. His own family's trying to get Him to shut up. His own family's trying to say, amen, you're making too much out of this. Amen, stop what you're doing. Stop where you're standing and come out from that and let's just all get along. Amen. And I know what I'm preaching today is not popular. And I know it goes against the flesh of every one of us. And Christ, my friend, amen, remains steadfast as our example that the will of God comes even before our family. That right is right and God's Word is the standard. And my friend, He would not compromise, no, not even for His own mother. There are people today out of the will of God because they have compromised for their family. They live a shallow, carnal Christian life. Now, I'm not, listen, I know the pressure. I know the pressure of what I'm preaching today. Amen, where the flesh rises up and says, if you just let up a little bit, amen, it'll be easier and we'll all be able to get along. Everybody all right? I've been there. I'm there. I'm raising teenagers. Somebody say amen. And that temptation is always there. Amen. We don't want the contention. We don't want the division. We don't want the distance. We don't want, the problems that arise from standing our ground. Christ said, I love you, but I cannot go with you. I'm not coming without leaving the will of God and leaving what God has put me here to do. I'm not walking away from it. No, not for my own family.
Amen.
Notice with me, amen, I didn't mean to take so long on that. Notice the concern that was spoken. The concern that was spoken, they speak up, they send the word from without to Christ who is within. And the word is, behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. He answered them saying, who is my mother or my brethren? What a question. He then answers his own question. He stands up to the multitude as it were, and I can see him in my mind, Sam. He lifts his hands out. He looks around and he says, behold my mother and my brethren. So he said, we're not your family. Christ is saying, this is my family. This is my family. These that are invested in the message, these that are interested in what God says and God thinks, and are interested in living their lives in the will of God. Amen. Behold my mother and my brethren. Amen. Say, preacher, what do you mean the concern that was spoken? Notice in Christ said in verse 35, no doubt within earshot of his own earthly family, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother. You see, Christ understood at this point in time that his brothers had yet to believe in him. He understood they were still, though they were physically without, and spiritually, they were more spiritually without, and they are without physically in this multitude, in this crowd. I don't believe. Now listen, Christ is not teaching here that earthly family is unimportant. And I say today, earthly family is absolutely important. It's the most important thing as far as an earthly realm and earthly relationships that there is in all of this world. Amen. The Word of God over and over and over deals with the family. Amen. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit unto your own husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Amen. Fathers, provoke not your children unto wrath. Amen. Over and over and over, Christian homes, and even in divided homes where, amen, in the days of the early church, many women were getting shamed and their husbands were without and were still pagans and sinners. Uninteresting, the Word of God speaks about, amen, their relationship in their home to their spouse. Amen. And over and over in the Word of God makes much about earthly family. So Christ is not, as some would teach, teaching here that earthly family is unimportant. However, I think he is most definitely communicating that being of the family of God is the most important.
Amen.
The concern that Christ, the concern that was spoken deals with the fact that Christ, he loves his heavenly Father enough not to compromise for his earthly family. But he loves his earthly family enough to give them the saving message of the gospel one more time, as though to tell them, hey man, I love you, I love you, I love that we're family, I love the memories we made, I love the joys that we have, but you must understand, hey man, it's not enough that we're just earthly family, hey man, there must be a connection that we have in the family of God. Wouldn't it be sad to be a member of an earthly family in which Christ was a member of that family? And being of that earthly family, have no spiritual connection to Him. Always being at odds with your brother who is your creator. Amen. I mean the son who never made a mistake and never sinned. He never lied. He never kept secrets. Hey, my friend was perfect. Can you imagine raising a perfect son? And yet in this text, it's as though his family, amen, is just trying to tap into an earthly connection, and Christ is saying, wait a minute. It's not enough that we, amen, have come through the same womb. You must be saved. You must, amen, be brought into the family of God. That is the most important thing. How many of God's children, how many times have we said, amen, that in many ways we're closer to the family of God than we are, amen, even members of our own earthly family. Why is that? Amen, because them in their sinful state, them in their state of rebellion against God, having gone astray, amen, they're interested in things that, amen, have no eternal value, and we're not living for this life. We're not living for this world and the love of this world. We are living to please our Heavenly Father. And in doing that, amen, in doing that, there are strains that are brought into those relationships. May I say, compromise is not the way to fix that. The way to fix that is to give the old message, to keep giving the Word of God even when they despise it, even when they reject it, even when they hate it. Amen, because there, amen, is something that is more important than us having an earthly bond. There is an eternity that is approaching. Amen, there is an eternal state we'll all face one of these days. And it's heaven or it's hell. It's God or the devil. It's eternal life or everlasting damnation. Amen, and I don't just want to have, amen, a family that we can get along, amen, for the 70 or 80 years that I have on this earth. Amen. I want to spend eternity with my family. So I want to preach for a moment, for the Lord to help me out of these verses, will the family circle be unbroken? Amen. You know what Christ's concern is here? Kathy, here's His concern. I'm getting ready to go to an old rugged cross. My own earthly family have not put their trust in what I'm going to do. They're rejecting the message of repent of your sin and believe on me. They have yet to believe on me. And I believe Christ, I believe that Christ, amen, is giving them another message. He is saying, I don't want you without. I don't want you to die in your sin. I don't want you to die in your unbelief. I don't want to die. Amen, you die. Amen, with this contention spiritually. The only solution is you must be saved. There'll always be spiritual contention in a family until, my friend, those that are lost get saved and born again. And I'm not saying that fixes everything. There'll still be, because we're all still in the flesh and we all still fail and we all, amen, are imperfect. Yet. Amen, whether your parents or your children, whether your siblings, amen, we don't always do what's right. And so there'll always be issues. But, amen, dear God, let's understand. And Christ is saying, I don't want my family circle to be unbroken. So let me give you a few things here this morning. Number one, notice the reach in verse number 35. I love this. He begins, For whosoever. Amen. For whosoever. Brother Tim, there is the reach. Amen. You say, who is this matter of the family of God for? And Webster defined the word whosoever. Amen. I said, Webster's not Calvin now. Amen. Webster said, Brother Mike, amen, whosoever means anyone or any person whatsoever. And I say today, when it comes to the family of God, amen, I'm glad there is a whosoever. Amen. The Bible said, whosoever will, let him come. Amen. Whosoever is athirst, let him come and take in the waters of life. Amen. Freely, I'm glad the Lord invites. And I stand today to say, amen, if you die in your sin, you'll bust hell wide open. If you go on living in your sin and your worldliness and your carnality, amen, there will always be contention in your family. Amen. Those that are saved and love God and love the Bible, and I'm glad to say there is a whosoever. Amen. It doesn't matter what your background is. It don't matter what you've done, where you've been, who you've done it with. Amen. I'm glad the saving grace of God, amen, it can reach who whosoever will. Whosoever. I love 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Amen. Don't miss it now. And is willing, and is not willing, rather, is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come. And I say today, I'm glad there is a reach. Amen. I'm glad there is a reach. I'm glad the Lord reached me in my sin. I'm glad the Lord reached me when in my heart, amen, I was a rebel in my heart. I was in contention. Amen. With my grandpa and grandma and my daddy, an old time religion, I had rebellion in my heart. I had my life mapped out. I had my plans made about how I was going to live. And I'm glad the grace of God reached me and interrupted all of that. See, I used to mock old time religion. I don't take pride in this. I used to sit in the Pleasant View Baptist camp meeting twice a year for years. Daddy'd take us summer meeting, winter meeting, summer meeting, winter meeting. But Jag's sister, Sister Biddle, get up and start having one of them spells and worship God. And I'd sit there in my seat not knowing what in the world any of that was about. And I used to mock that and I used to make fun of that. Amen. You say you still make fun of that? Oh no. Amen. 25 years ago when I got saved, amen, there began to be a common bond. I began to all of a sudden, amen, understand that. Not that I have to act like that. Not that I have to do, amen, that the way she done it. But and I understand it like I couldn't understand it before I got saved. And I owe that to the reach of the grace of God in my life. Amen. I used to hear my daddy preach and give all them rules and standards and regulations. I ain't proud of this. I hated everything he preached. Couldn't wait till I got old enough to leave. You know what changed my life? The grace of God given a whosoever call. Amen. That God wouldn't let me go as mad as I was getting it and rebellious as I was getting that. Amen. Oh, it was grievous to me. Amen. Oh, you let me get out of daddy's sight and know he wasn't going to be around for a little while. Amen. I'd live a completely different life. And I'm glad. I'm thankful tonight. And God kept calling it and the Lord wouldn't let me go. Amen. I'm glad there was a call to whosoever. Christ says, hey, James, Simon, Judah, whosoever will, whosoever. I know that you want to tap in and you want to deal with this in an earthly connection. But those that are my family is that spiritual family. I don't want the family circle to be broken. The reach. Number two, the requirements. For whosoever shall do the will of God.
Amen.
Whosoever shall do the will of God. Not their own will. Not living life by what the world thinks. But those that do the will of God. This is Christ teaching on how one is brought into the family. Preacher, how in the world does this contention cease? How in the world is this strife knocked out? Amen. In Christ, amen, is teaching that, amen, a man must be saved. This is something that is emphasized through the Scripture. That you must do the will of God to be saved.
Amen.
Matthew 7 in verse number 21, the Bible said, Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but whosoever doeth the will of God. Whosoever doeth the will of God. Will you go with me to 1 John chapter number 2? 1 John chapter number 2. Amen. This ain't my opinion now. You have to deal with this in the Word of God. Amen. The Bible said in 1 John 2. Look with me in verse number 16. The Bible said, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. You see what some of y'all are living for? It is but only for a moment. Amen. There's coming a day and it's going to pass away. There's coming a day and it's going to cease. And let's say you can attain some of the greatest things. Amen. This world has to offer. Amen. I promise you all the trophies are going to melt. All the awards are going to be turned to dust. Amen. All the applause and all the fame. And all the fitting in. Amen. John said, all that is in the world, the lust thereof, it is going to pass away. But, notice what he said, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now I can run you through the Word of God and I can keep us here for hours. About the will of God, the will of God. He that doeth the will of God hath everlasting life. He that doeth the will of God, he abideth forever. The will of God, the will of God. The way that you're brought into the family of God is by doing the will of God. Somebody said, well, that sounds like works. It may seem like that to you this morning. But when Christ speaks about whosoever shall do the will of God, that is not a word salvation. That is not a message of salvation for a different dispensation of time. Oh no. You see, if you'll study the Word of God, you'll find that the will of God is wrapped up in terms of getting into the family of God in three things. Number one, repentance. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance.
Amen.
When Jesus said, whosoever shall do the will of God, it is wrapped up in a sinner recognizing what they are and recognizing their sin, recognizing that it doesn't matter what earthly family they're a part of. Amen. The one they wish they wasn't a part of or the one they wish they was a part of. Amen. The fact of the matter is you will die in your sin and bust hell wide open if you do not repent of your sin. Jesus said, and I know it's outdated. I told one of my children, I think John and I told him yesterday. Amen. I told him, I said, son, I know and I understand I am a dinosaur to this generation.
Thank God.
But it's still right.
Amen.
Jesus said, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. Amen. The message of repentance is preached over and over. John the Baptist said, amen, bring forth fruit meet for repentance. And Jesus said, amen, repent and believe the gospel. And Peter said, you got to repent. And Paul said, amen, you've got to repent. And they still an old leather lung, young, 43-year-old, amen, man of God, sent and called by God, amen, to this generation to say, if you want to be in the family of God, there must be repentance. Amen. Nobody gets saved denying their sin nature. Nobody ever has been brought into God's family a rebel. Amen. So what is repentance? That's when your will gets broke. You surrender and turn to God from your sin. You side with God against yourself. You quit making excuses for why you are what you are and why you do what you do. Amen. And you realize that, amen, that He is the only hope. Amen. And there's godly sorrow expressed for what we are and what we become and what sin has made us. Amen. And turning from our sin to God. That's the will of God. The will of God. God is not willing that any should perish, but that, could I word it this way without doing damage? The will of God is that all should come to repentance. Amen. Number two, not only repentance, but reliance. It's the will of God that you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the will of God that you forsake everything you're trusting in and trust in Christ. And Christ alone.
Amen.
Amen. John chapter number 6, if you want to look there. Oh Lord, this is preaching now. John chapter number 6, the Bible said in verse number 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Verse 40, and this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life. If you're going to be saved, some of you got a saved daddy. Some of you know what it is to have a saved mama. And you are so divided, you are such without them. Amen, there's this gap and this distance. Amen, that has been created and Christ is saved. There is a reach. I want to reach you. The grace of God is reaching for you if you'll come. Amen, here is the requirement. It is the will of the Father that sent Christ that you see Him and believe on Him unto life everlasting. If you come to Calvary Baptist Tabernacle, we're not much and we don't have a whole lot to offer by way of programs and entertainment, but this much I know. Carl, this much I know. You will see the Lord Jesus Christ in this place. You say, all I see is hypocrites, because that's all you want to see. So all I see is a bunch of Pharisees, that's because that's all you want to see. Amen. Because you listen to a preacher today who ain't a hypocrite. You listen to a man of God today who's not a Pharisee. Amen. Or there's some of that in every independent Baptist church? Sure there is. Amen. There's probably that in every church you can step in today. Amen. But there's somewhere higher. I beg you to look. Amen. There's someone greater we preach. There's someone greater we lift up. Amen. And Jesus said it's the will of God. Amen. That you open your eyes and you see the Son. And that in seeing Him, you realize you must believe and rely on Him and Him alone. That is the only way you're ever going to be brought into the family of God. Amen. Amen. Boy, it's good preaching. 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter number 3. Verse number 23. The Bible said, and this is His commandment. His commandment's what His will is. You understand the Word of God don't leave no gray areas. Some of y'all making gray areas where God has made declarations.
Amen. That's right.
Trying to gray it down, trying to blur the lines, trying to complicate it so you ain't got to believe it. But John said, this is a commandment. This is what He said. That ye, notice, that, amen, let me get it right, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. You cannot love your saved mom and daddy till you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot love your children until you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And the loving one another, it's a commandment, but it's an outflow of what the first commandment is. And we all too, we have been commanded to believe on the Son, on the Father, Son, Jesus Christ. Reliance. Have you put your faith in Him? Are you resting in yourself? How good you are, how smart you are, how talented you are. All of that's going to pass away. But Brother Mike, the faith I put in Christ 25 years ago, it still is fresh, it still is new, and it gets bigger day by day. I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm living by faith every day. Amen, I'm living by my faith. I'm living by His faith. I'm double covered in faith. Amen, because today I believed on Him, I've done the will of God. Now I'm not just a part of the Ledbetter family. I'm a part of the family of God.
Amen.
There is repentance involved. There is reliance involved. Then can I say this? It's kind of an outflow of it all, Brother Tim. There is a reflection that is involved. See, it ain't enough just to say you're in the family. If you're really in the family, you don't wear it on a badge. You don't just get to run around and say you are. Because there ain't ever been a family somebody been born into that did not bear some sort of resemblance to the family they were a part of. You know in the family of God who our resemblance is to be? Romans chapter number 8 and verse 29, we're told that we've been predestinated to be conformed to the image of the Son of God, that He might be the firstborn among many what? Brethren. Say, preacher, what is the will of God? Amen. This is more the outflow of the repentance and the reliance. Amen. It's the proof that's in the pudding, so to speak. Amen. That a profession is not enough. It's not enough to say, Lord, Lord. That's not what's going to get you in the kingdom of God. Amen. But true repentance and true faith. Amen. The outflow of that is your life, your attitude, your spirit, your obedience, your love, your desire for the will of God will resemble that of the heavenly Savior.
Amen.
Amen, preacher. That's right. As the Father sent me in the world, even so send I you. He was sent to do the will of God. He was sent to do the will of God. Do you know why God saved us? Amen. For whosoever shall do the will of God, whosoever shall do the will of God, I repented of my sin, I'm relying upon Christ and Christ alone. And my friend, for 25 years, He has made a reflection of Himself through my life. Don't dare claim to have been perfect in all of that. These days we all get bad attitudes. Amen. There's sometimes you'll see more of Jeff than you will Jesus. Amen. Brother Mark, don't throw that songbook you just picked up. These days we see more Mark than we do the Master. Y'all listening? But can anybody see any Jesus in you? Is there any Jesus in you, and you claim to be a part of the family of God? You claim that the family circle's not going to be missing a link with you in it when we get to heaven, and yet there's never any reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. It's always strife against those who are trying to honor God. Oh, y'all are quiet here this morning. And I say that is not a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fighting those who love God with all their heart. Amen. Justifying that by saying, I love Him just as much as you do, but you fight it at every turn. Let me tell you something. Repentance and faith will produce a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ in every area of our life. Mary, that doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. I understand that. If any man say you have sin, have no sin, that man, John the Beloved, said he's a liar and the truth is not in him. He is still in darkness and he is living a lie. There ain't a person in here that does not still have a sin nature, even though you be saved and are sure of it. And my friend, heaven is your home. We all falter and we all fail. But everybody look here. I don't care what's being preached in this day. If constant failure and constant falling into sin and constant worldliness is the theme of your life, Jesus said, you are not doing the will of God. Amen. I don't care what your buddy say, what your mama says, or what some other compromising preacher has told you. It's the will of God that we be conformed into the image of Christ. Thank God one of these days, what we're desiring, I desire, are you understanding today? It is natural. Brother Tim, I think, said it this morning. Amen. In the flesh, amen, it's just natural. Some of the things the flesh does, it's natural to the flesh. But for 25 years, there is a part of me spiritually, it is natural to want to be faithful. It is natural for me to want to be separated. It is natural to me to want to fulfill and desire and seek what God's will is for my life. Sam, there's a part of me spiritually, I'm not even trying. Some of y'all, you're trying yourself to death. You're trying so hard and you are killing yourself. The Bible said, if we love Him, if we love Him, His commandments are not grievous. You've got to love Him. There's a part of me that does not even have to try to love God. I'm trying. Ain't it? I hear it all the time. Ain't it enough that I'm trying? I'm not talking about not trying. I'm talking about me and Mary. We was talking yesterday, and I asked her this question. I want to hit on this. I done gone too long as it is. So if I go 10 minutes or 30 minutes over, it's all the same. I said, baby doll, you understand the grace of God. We all understand this. The grace of God, we shout when we have done wrong, and grace restores us back. Buddy, I'm telling you, people lose their mind. There's been 10 million songs wrote about that part of the ministry of grace. There's been thousands upon scores of thousands and volumes of sermons that have been preached about what grace can do for those that have fallen. Let me tell you something else grace can do. Grace can keep you from falling. Some of y'all falling all the time, and you keep that up. The Bible warns of turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. You make it a license whereby it's an excuse. And you keep doing that. Eventually you get so frustrated you'll quit. Some of y'all better learn, if you have repented of your sin, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, in that reflection, that, amen, of Christ and being conformed to His image, that God has provided grace that not only restores us when we fall in, but moves in our life to keep us from falling. Amen. Amen. You say, you making me mad? I ain't making you mad. That book's making you mad. See, if I could spit in your face right now, I'd spit in your face. No, you'd spit in the face of God's what you do. So I'm telling you, Christ is saying, I don't want the family circle. I want the family circle unbroken. I want everybody to be there. I want my mama there. I want my brothers there. Amen. Behold, these are my mother and my brethren. Amen. Whosoever shall do the will of God. Let me make a statement in this matter of reflection, and I'm about to finish, and it'll end well, I hope. If you've done the will of God as a sinner, your heart's been broken, and you've done the will of God in repentance and reliance, you know what the constant reflection from that day is? You still have a desire to do the will of God even after you're saved. You want to know it. Amen. You want to know it. There's a part of you that says, I have to know it. There's a part of you that says, dear God, don't let me live a day without knowing it. It's reflection that's in though in that requirement, a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Notice with me, number three, the recognition. We see the reach. We see the requirements. Notice the recognition. Somebody said, well, Christ was being awful grouchy with His mama and His brothers. I don't think He was. I don't think He was. I just think He knew what the will of God was, and He wasn't letting them who did not know the will of God tell Him what the will of God was for His life. Amen. And so He stands and He said, who is my mother and my brethren? I can see some of them scratch their head, Brother Larry, and go, he don't even know who his own family is. And He goes, behold, behold, my mother and my brethren. Here's what Jesus said in verse 35. He said, for whosoever shall do the will of God, don't miss it now, the same is. The same is. Amen. You know what Christ just did? He acknowledged those that are in His family. And I say today, greater than being a part of the Ledbetter family, I'm a part of the family of God. You say, how do you know? Because Jesus Christ has recognized me as the same is.
Amen. Amen.
He who once was a rebel, he who once was disinterested and distant and divided, has been reached and has done the will of God. Christ said, oh, come on in as my family. And embraces me with exclamation points. Behold, my mother and my brethren. Verse 34, exclamation point.
Amen.
He's excited that I'm in His family. Amen. And can I say I'm excited I'm in His family? It ain't a burden to be in His family. It's a joy to be in His family. He has recognized me. I have recognized Him. And thank God I'm in His family. Hebrews chapter 2, dear God, I'm running out of time. I got to quit. Hebrews 10, verses 10, 11, and 12, Sister Debbie. Amen. Oh, He said,
Amen. Talking about the captain of our salvation. Amen. For it is made perfect through His suffering. And then we have obtained that He came to bring. Amen. He begins to talk about us. And He said, hey, He's not ashamed to call them His brethren. In fact, He said, I will sing praise. Amen. In the church. Amen. Unto my brethren. Amen. I'm telling you, He recognizes me as a son. I'm in the family. Amen. Preaching like this. Amen. It doesn't bother me. Amen. Can get up and preach all repentance and faith and living right. Amen. He may get on something I've been a-doing. Amen. I may have to roll up in the altar and say, dear God, I'm sorry. Amen. You use that man of God to bust my head. Amen. And get it under the blood and get up and get right with God and live for Him. Amen. But there ain't no kind of this preaching that upsets me. You know why? He done told me He ain't ashamed to be called my brother. He knew everything them boys is going to do. He knew that Peter was going to deny Him. He knew the rest of them disciples would deny Him. He knew my friend their ups and their downs. And yet, amen, He said, behold my family. Behold my family. I'm not ashamed of those that have done the will of God. Not ashamed. Amen. And I say today, He has recognized me as a son. And I have recognized God as my heavenly Father. Christ and I have embraced in the family of God as though we are spiritual brothers. Amen. My, boy, I know I got to quit. Lord, have mercy. Let me give you an illustration, then I'll close with a scriptural emphasis. My dad was raised a lot the same way I was raised. Say, how was that? Old-fashioned. Old-fashioned. Around the preaching of the gospel, around the message of you must be born again, around the message of Christ, when He saves you to please the Heavenly Father, not to live according to the dictates of this world.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
My daddy grew up in that, and my daddy loved ball, and he played basketball, and had all kinds of awards and newspaper articles and things that had been written about him. He got in love with that and with the world and with the world's music and with the way the world thinks, and he began to run into all that. Well, that created some contention in a Christian home. Well, my grandpa was one of the sweetest men there ever was, this side or the other side of glory. But here's one of them old timers said, it's my house, it's my rules.
Amen.
If you do it, you'll have to do it behind my back, and you better pray unto God I don't find out. That was the kind of man my granddaddy was. Amen. So I would never, amen, I know this generation, they would never, but that's what this generation needs. Some of y'all, amen. Amen. I'm speaking at large to this generation, amen, that's outside, and some of y'all that's here, you just got to hear it. Amen. But this generation, what they need, they're tail whipped. Amen. And my daddy, he'll tell you, he had a rebellious streak, Brother A.L. And it was just constant contention, 16, 17. My daddy turned 17, 18, maybe nearly 18 years old. They had a big blow up. My granddaddy was gone, thank the Lord, or I wouldn't be here today because he'd have killed my daddy. My sweet little grandma, Grandma Joyce, began to plead with him. Won't you do right? Won't you do right? My daddy said, I got in her face and was screaming at her and got in such a rage over her trying to cram her God down my throat. He said, I reared back and I smacked my mama in the face, said, I don't want your God. Don't ever talk to me about your Bible. Turned around, went to his room, packed a few bags, got in his car, peeled out, went down the road. That's the story. Now, if some of y'all met my daddy, you'd never believe that. That's what my daddy did as a teenager. So much contention and strife in his heart. Grandpa or dad wound up going to his grandma's house. He pulled in, he had his little bag of stuff, and he walked in the door. And old Grandma Ledbetter, she said, "Well, hey there, Jeffrey. How you doing?" He said, "I'm fine, Grandma." Said, "I'd like to stay with you a few days." She said, "Oh, that'd be fine, son. You know where the room is in the back. Just put your stuff back there." Dad said he turned to walk down that trailer hallway back there to the room. He said, "I barely made it to the door. I heard Grandma Ledbetter picking her Bible up and rustling through the pages." He says, "I went into my room. She began to read out loud, word for word, the Word of God." He said, "What I was trying to run from and get away from, what I hated in my heart, Grandma Ledbetter opened up that book and just began to read it out loud." He said, "I began to feel that rage pull up in my heart again. I couldn't take it." He said, "I ran out of the trailer, ran out in the living room, said, 'Grandma, I'll be back in a little while.'" He said he run on down the road. He got involved in a few things. He come back a few hours later. Amen. Just knowing she was going to be done, he wouldn't have to hear that again. Said he walked into the house, said, "Hey, Grandma." She said, "Hey." He walked down the hallway. He said he made it to his bedroom door again. Grandma Ledbetter began to sing out of that old hymn book. Songs like "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound."
Hallelujah.
Songs about the old rugged cross. Songs about what God has done in her life. And he said he could hear her sing out there and weep and cry. And she'd say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." He said that tore him up. And he said, "I felt that rage come back again. So I'd peel out." He said, "That's just how I live. I try to stay there trying to run from God, trying to run from Mom and Daddy's rules." There I was dealing with somebody more sanctified and spiritually minded than I could even comprehend. The day came. Daddy fell under old-time Holy Ghost conviction. Here's what the Lord told Saul of Tarsus. He said, "It's hard for you to kick against the pricks." He didn't ask him if it was. He said, I know it's hard. What you're doing, what you're fighting against and kicking against, it's hard, ain't it, Paul?" Daddy said, "I realize Mom and Dad wasn't the problem and Grandma wasn't the problem. I was the one with the problem."
Amen.
Daddy got saved as a young man. Grandma and Grandpa used to ride around the country and they used to sing this song, "I wonder if the family circle will be together once again over there on heaven's shining shore. There no more to separate. We'll sing around God's throne. Oh, I wonder if the family circle will all be whole." Some of you today are here and you're that missing link in the family circle. You got to save Mama. Maybe there's several missing links. Why don't you be the one that gets in the family circle, that's a part of the family of God, with a mama, with a daddy, with brothers and sisters? Maybe God will use that to bring others into His family that need to be saved in your family. Amen. Look with me in the book of Acts, chapter number 1. Remember in Acts chapter number 3, they are without. They're standing without. The brothers of Christ, that is. Look with me in Acts chapter number 1. I'll just read one verse and I'm done. Candy's coming to piano. The Bible said these all continued, and it's just listed a name. The names of
Some of the disciples, the apostles, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. Notice the last phrase of verse 15. And with His brethren. Brother Jack, I believe what Jesus Christ proclaimed in Mark 3:35. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my family. I don't believe they ever got over that. I believe that was the barb that stuck in their heart. And even though they continued in disbelief all the way to the cross, when Jesus got up out of the grave and they realized the reality that He was indeed who He said He was, they turned their hearts to Him, repenting of their sin, believing on Him and Him alone. Now those who once were without are now within. I know I preached long today, and I know what I preach. I know is not popular in these days. But I've not preached to you, I don't know how many references. If you stand there at the door and ask me, I'll count them all out, how many references we made to the Scripture today. This has not been a message of my opinion.
Amen.
I wonder, will the family circle be unbroken? If you died today, are you at union with the Lord Jesus Christ and a saved mom and daddy and brothers and sisters? Or would you die without? Amen. If you died this week and we had your funeral, though we would all say great things and believe that, yeah, he or she, they had it down, would you really be in heaven if you died? Would there be a missing place? Would there be a missing place around the eternal throne of God where you should have been, where you could have been? Have you believed? Have you repented? Do you know Him? Those of us that know that, I'll tell you, we better pray for our lost family. We better pray for them. You understand that rich man, when he died and went to hell, he was pleading to God for his lost brothers if they wouldn't go to that awful place. Wouldn't it be sad a lost man in hell had more of a burden for his family than we who have opportunity to pray today and reach them today would have for our lost family? Your prayers make a difference. Your burden makes a difference. Will the family circle be unbroken? Stand together.